We're in chapter 8. More wisdom. Boy, we're getting wisdom now. You're bound to feel that you're getting some of God's wisdom there. After finishing the latter part of chapter 6 and then all of chapter 7 on the great sin of adultery, that's kind of a summation starts in chapter 8, going back to the basics of what the author's trying to do here. Chapter 8 has really been described as a profound presentation of wisdom as the moving principle of the ways of God. In other words, we've had 7 chapters where the author's gotten into not only the values of God, but the sins that God really it wants to impress upon us to stay away from, which is all sin, but it gets into details of trying to embed this into our memory bank. Until we get to verses 22 to 31, and there it's going to link wisdom in the before God even created the world. And there's been some questions in that whether that pertains to Jesus himself or whether that was another entity that God had with him when he formed the world. But I think we'll be able to summarize and use New Testament verses to assure us that Jesus was involved in the wisdom of the creation of the world. But we'll get to that point when we get up to verse 22. Verse 1. Again, he's going back, he says, does wisdom not cry out to you and understanding lift up her voice? Do we remember now what when he says words like understanding, what he's talking about? What's the dictionary definition? Not the Webster dictionary, but the God's dictionary of understanding. But the reason I want to point these out to you, because if you'll insert these words, it gets this in your memory bank, and you go to read this on yourself, by yourself, it's going to become more clear to you. I'm going to insert the word here. Does not wisdom cry out and common sense lift up her voice? You know, isn't that what you want to be able to have, common sense? So she takes her stand on the top of the hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city and at the entrance doors. This is almost a complete reversal of the seductress that he was talking about in the chapter 4, where she was sneaking around and she was in low keys and low voice. He says, wisdom's just the opposite of that. It cries out to you. It wants you to meet with her. To you, O men, I call, my voice is to the son. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men, or the daughters of men. I want you to know we always include two of them there. It says, O you simple ones. Again, not talking, what is the simple one? What does that dictionary say the simple ones is when you see that simple one? Not simple-minded. Rascal or sinner. Either one of them. Could be a rascal sinner for that. O you sinners, understand prudence. Again, going back to that word, understanding. What prudence? Remember what prudence was?
Foresight, accountability.
Uh-huh. Future consequences. When you say, have enough common sense to understand there's future consequences for what you say. Not for just what right now, but down the road, the future consequences of it. Oh, you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from our openings of my lips will come right things. not lies like the. Oh, this is almost exact opposite of what the seductress was in the chapter prior to this. For my mouth will speak truth, not flattery, not lies, but truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. When we use the word abomination, what are we talking about here?
What God don't like.
God hates. There are things God hates. They're an abomination to Him. All my words of my mouth are with righteousness, goodness, love. Nothing crooked or perverse will come out of them. He says they are plain. They are common sense things. They are plain to Him. They're not complex to him who understands. Going back, when you see the word understands, has common sense. And right to those who find knowledge. It says, believe my instructions, believe my guidance, and receive my instructions and not silver. And knowledge rather than choice gold. In other words, put more value on what I'm trying to teach you here, my words and my mindset, than gold and silver. If we went back to the first four or five chapters when we started our Proverbs, a comparison was made to gold and silver and rubies and diamonds and I think even pearls, of the value that wisdom, having God's wisdom, is how much more valuable than they are. And that's hard for us to comprehend, because as human beings and living in today's world, gold and silver and diamonds, you know, we put such a value on them that when we even see them, you know, you see the ring. You see those earrings somebody's got on there? I mean, we just do. Gold necklaces. But don't you know God's wisdom can supply you with all that? I said, can. Didn't say will. Don't you know that? If you can think things out, situations out, opportunities that come by us every day, decisions that we have to make, endless decisions through life, and they were all being made God's way, instead of us ending up suffering harmful results of financial decisions we might have made or other blunders we might have made, we'll be in better shape. We'll be in better shape spiritually, but we'll be in better shape financially. With no promise now that you're going to be rich, but you're certainly going to. If I could just have an amount of money that I'm not going to say wasted, but I made bad decisions with. Only if I'd had God's wisdom when I made those decisions. You know, instead of buying that brand new car, how classy I would look, you know. But if I'd gone over here and spend it in this area right here, if I'd have helped these people, God would have even blessed me even more than the new car. It's just it goes on endless. Brian, go ahead.
The phrase here that you're talking about, silver, gold, and rubies, that puts you in the stature of other humans, of other people. It's the wisdom that you carry and use that puts you in stature.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the value of what other people think of us. We should look at the value of how God sees us.
Mm-hmm.
Because all that silver and gold and rubies one day will no longer be. And people try to steal it, or it gets destroyed, or gets lost. But that relationship that you can build with God is eternal. And that's what he's trying to tell you. The value that I have has such a longer the gift or presence or value than anything on this earth ever had.
If you go back to how or why Solomon ended up with so much wisdom, when he found himself in the kingship after David, why did God bless him with wisdom?
He asked for it.
He asked for it. Why? Because he got it, and he did. The highest of anybody other than Jesus Christ that we know of on this earth.
He asked for wisdom.
He asked for wisdom.
Because his life was righteous before God. And he said, I'll give you anything you want. You ask for it. And he asked for wisdom. And he said, you made a good choice.
Yeah.
And he blessed him with that wisdom.
And he could have asked God, said, I want to be the wealthiest person in the world.
No, he could answer anything.
And he was there. He ended up being the wealthiest person in the world.
He could have
asked for victory over all of his enemies. And that's one of the things God pointed out. He didn't ask for victories over all his enemies.
No, not at all.
He didn't even ask for long life.
Right.
Yeah, Chuck.
I believe, too, that when he did ask for that blessing, if I'm not mistaken, God not only blessed him with that, but in extra measure, if I remember. Extra measure.
And God wants us to ask for wisdom. I want you to understand that. In fact, through His Word right here, right now, He's crying out to us to have wisdom. He wants us to have His wisdom. And all we have to do, first of all, we got to put such value and respect and honor on God, says, I want to be just like you. I want to do everything you say. And then the second thing is, we've got to desire it more than we do earthly treasure. We've got to desire it more than wealth. We've got to desire it more than winning the lottery. When it was, a billion and a half, about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Yeah, Brian.
God wisdom also teaches you how to prosper.
I don't want to put words or an understanding in God's word that is not there. But He says in here, you'll prosper. And He says in here, you'll gain wealth. Now, wealth is a relative thing, you know. You and I sitting right here are richer than 9/10 of the world. Of the world.
Verse 4. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices. That was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You've continued this great kindness to him and given him a son. Now, O Lord, my God, you've made your servant king in place of my father, but I'm only a little child, and I don't know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you've chosen, a great people, numerous to count. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? And the Lord was pleased, so he said to him, since you've asked for this and not for a long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies or discernment and administering justice, I will do what you've asked. I'll give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Whoa.
Pretty cool.
Okay.
To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance. Remember, pride and arrogance was one of the things, was an abomination of the 7 things that the Lord hates. And the evil way and the perverse mouth. As people who stir up trouble. I hate. Counsel is mine. seek counsel. All decisions that God, through His Word, has pleaded with us on numerous occasions. Of course, the first place to seek counsel is His Word. And then seek counsel from other wise people, other wise godly people. You can't get too much counsel and sound wisdom. I want to go back up to verse 12 and say, because I left out the word prudence. Our wisdom dwell with prudence. Did you remember what we said prudence was? Huh? Mm-hmm. What's appropriate? Yeah. Right, go back over to 10. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. That's a great I am. I am understanding. Understanding here says common sense. I am common sense and I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. Those kings who have understanding will rule, will be able to rule the kingdom and decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles and all the judges of the earth. Those that have wisdom will have those blessings. I love those who love me. The Lord loves us. We love Him. He loves us. And those who seek me diligently to find me. Again, He's asking you to fervently seek His wisdom. Says, riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. He says, my fruit is better than gold. Yes, than fine gold. In other words, my results, or your results, by the way, our results of gaining wisdom is better than gold, fine gold. What's the difference between gold and fine gold? Why did he make that distinction there?
The purity.
Purity of it. That's right. It's better than, pure gold. What is pure gold? 24 carats? That's supposed to be pure gold? I don't think you can get any purer than 24 carats, is it?
Well, the carat has no relevance. It's just a designation. It's just like metal. You get a metal that's hard, soft.
Uh-huh.
So gold, you have 24, 12, uh-huh. You have the different carats, quality, in the amount of gold. But whether it's 24 or 12, you want it to be 99.9% pure gold. Then you mix it with the other agent, uh-huh. which is a tinning agent, which then makes the band sturdy. Gold is very soft.
I know.
Yeah, so without other material that it clings to, it's really useless. But anyway, but that's the difference. It's the carat is just a designation. All of it, whether it's 24 or 12, again, whatever, it needs to be as pure as possible.
Yeah, I told you all, I watch a lot of those National Geographic movies, and one of them, well, several of them on there, but people that go out there and dig gold, when the gold comes down with the water and all over, and they got these little fine holes that the coarser stays up top and finally goes down. And then when they get down to where it's the finest, I mean, it's almost like a powder. It's so fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about as pure as you can get it. None of the distraction is in there as you see in the other gold. All right, if we got questions on gold and silver, we see Chuck, is that what we do? Okay. It says, my revenue better than choice silver. I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth. Wealth, both material wealth and spiritual wealth, that I may fill their treasures. So in a way, God does promise you you're going to do better going His way than you will the other way. And when we pick up in verse 22 to the end here, as I said, there's been a lot of discussions and even in commentaries as to how these words are presented as to whether they mean they were in Christ or they were separate from Christ. Most scholars, particularly because of some scripture we got in the New Testament, now we'll read them, have agreed that this is a description of what Christ had, the values that He had, or the Spirit of Christ was within the Spirit. Somebody turn to 1 Corinthians 1:30, and let's read that first. 1 Corinthians 1:30.
It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption.
Okay. What those verses are saying is, because of Christ Jesus, we got wisdom through Him. All right, somebody have Colossians 1:15, verses 15 through 18. Colossians 1, verses 15 through 18. Phil got it.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence.
All right, have that thought in mind as we start off in verse 2. This is wisdom there talking. This is if wisdom itself is talking to you. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way. Before His works of old, I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there ever was an earth. There were no depths that I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were even settled, before the hills I was brought forth, while as yet He had not made the earth or the fields. So this is before anything was founded, or the primal dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He assigned the sea its limits, so that the waters would not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside Him as a master craftsman at the very beginning. And I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in His inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. So before creation, we know that Jesus was with God before then. And Jesus had, he actually named everything that was named down here. So it's just hard to discern wisdom from Jesus or to separate the two. And I certainly wouldn't get a debate and say that was a different entity. If Jesus existed, wisdom existed, Holy Spirit exists. It has nothing to do with my salvation. has not a thing to do with my salvation. I know that what we learn from those two scriptures in the New Testament, that Jesus bought us wisdom. He's the source of our wisdom. He's the source of our wisdom. I would encourage you, and I know you will, because that's the way I got hooked on Proverbs, and after reading and studying it a few times, and I just wanted to go back and look things over. I would go in there where I would see the word like understanding, and I would put in parentheses common sense, or prudence, I'd put this word, that, so that I could read it in a way that it made sense to me. And then I would understand that you can say the right thing at the wrong time, and the consequences, you know, that someone will pay from that, either from you or from them down the road. You can say things that need to be talked about, but you need the right opportunity to do it. You need for that person to be in a state of mind where they're really receptive to it rather than want to fight you over it, you know, want to combat you about it. There's all kind of things in here that if we just use God's pattern, God's mindset, that we'll be able to put all this together. We won't offend as many people as we offend. We won't end up with as many enemies as we end up with because we've struck back with words at the inappropriate time, or we've lost people or friends that we didn't take the opportunity at the right time to talk to them, you know, when they were receptive, or because of something that we said that was truth, we didn't say it with love, you know, we just didn't talk to them with God's love. We talked to them with truth, but we didn't talk to them out of love. And people sense that when you're in a conversation with them, you know, where you're coming from. Whether you've already got your answers made up for what they say, I'm not going to listen to you. You go ahead and say what you, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. I'm not going to listen to what you have to say. So we've got to be careful of that. And I've great belief that even though out of 31 chapters we've concluded 8 of these, that by the time we get to 31 chapters, we're going to have some people of understanding in this class. Not that we don't have understanding people here and there. In fact, one of the values we want to do before this class is over with is get to the point where we share our counsel with one another. Your wisdom in areas would be different than mine, and I can learn from you. And that's what this is all about. Find out who has godly wisdom and use them for counsel and use them for directions. Use them for making decisions. That some of us feel like we're out there by ourselves and we don't, you know, we just don't have the support. Someone like Ursula, who's from a foreign nationality and without a husband, and she needs the wisdom from people who live here and do have husbands, do have spouses, and do have experiences that she being from over there, or customs that she's not familiar with. So let's be aware of that. And that's how you'll start using this godly wisdom that Proverbs gives us, is to get his mindset on how God would approach a problem. By the way, after we finish chapter 9, the first 9 chapters not only covers what wisdom is about and how important it is, but from the book, from chapter 9 on, it's going to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and it will become, you will almost think, repetitive or monotonous unless you picked up the groundwork that we spoke to picked up in the first 9 chapters. 8 chapters we picked up, but we got one more we got to get through. And it skipped around. There's no particular subject he gets on like it did on the sins that God is an abomination to God. It just skips around and covers everything. It's almost like I'm giving you a final test, and you ought to be able to recognize what I said about this sin in chapter 2. You ought to be able to recognize when I pointed this out in chapter 4. But it'll repeat those things over and over again. Repetition. God understands we as human beings need repetition. And I know that I never, the first 2 or 3 times I read Proverbs, to me it was just a bunch of cliches, just a bunch of sayings, some that I wanted to memorize. But after you've studied enough, you'll see that it starts coming together like a puzzle. It's great when it comes together like a puzzle. It really is. All right, gang, that's it. That's our class for this morning. We'll pick this up on chapter 9 next week. Good Lord willing. Good Lord willing. Mm-hmm.
We still have five more verses left in that chapter 8.
What did I read to you? I thought I read them all.
Verses 32 to 36. Did you read them all? Maybe I haven't seen them all.
It says, whoever finds me finds life, which is our goal. Whoever finds favor from the Lord and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul, and those who hate me love death. I might not have read those. I'm sorry. I never want to be guilty of God thinking I hate him. I want you to understand that. I don't think any of us do. He says, but those who hate me love death. Okay. Go ahead.
You know, it's been plain. And it's saying to me that wisdom is what we basically call good morals. You know, and what when you look at the world today, they've gotten away from that morals. You know, and now anybody do anything that they want to do, whatever they feel like they want to do, they have no morals, and they're chasing money or riches. You know, this passage talks about rubies and gold, but it's still the same thing, you know, for the love of money.
Mm-hmm.
You do anything, and you have no conscience, you know. Wisdom, if you follow wisdom, it will give you that conscience that you need, that you need.
Every day we wake up, we have to make decisions. Mm-hmm. And we will until we breathe our last breath. Mm-hmm. Every day. And we make those decisions based upon our background, our mindset, the way we put our life together, our values together, our morals together, our integrity together. And not all of those decisions we may make come from God's mindset. You can interdisperse some of our values and God's values and think we're okay. We've got to get rid of all of our values and make sure they're God's values. And we might say, well, I have God's values, but you got to have them all. You can't believe one thing he says and not believe the other thing he says. And you gain that by honestly and earnestly with deep in your heart believe that he is so almighty that he deserves nothing less than our utter respect and belief in what he says, and we want to do everything we can to please him. And that means I got to get a lot of trash out of my mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to get a lot of stuff that I was taught from on up. And not only I was only taught, I picked up from other people, you know. And it's a tough. It's tough, but he wouldn't tell you you could have it if you couldn't. And it has nothing to do with IQ. Not one thing to do with IQ. Yeah, Chuck.
Has everything to do with the heart.
With the heart. Belief. Mm-hmm. Complete, uttermost faith.
Christ says, come unto me like little children.
Mm-hmm. Except ye be like little children, you'll know why I was in it in my kingdom.
He doesn't want you to act like little children.
We did.
I believe what he's alluding to is the fact that they are trusting completely. You hold a baby in your hand, you know that child does not know you much bad. But they're trusting completely.
One of the things that would be nice before we got through this class, but we need to get through most of it before we do that, is to come off the situation in your life that you've been perplexed about and you want answers to. How would God answer that problem? How would God handle that situation? And let's share them, because we all have them. I mean, and some of them, we may have thought we've handled them well, and it didn't turn out so well. Some of them we haven't handled yet, or don't know how to handle. But therein, between the wisdom that God offers us in here, we'll have an answer, or we'll get as close as we can to God's answers with how you would handle that. In one class I did, taught not too long ago in Proverbs, I did have a series of situations that if this was this and this was this, how would you handle it? And then go back to see what the scriptures said. And perhaps we'll need to give hypothetical. Why don't we just go with actual situations and talk about them and see how we would handle them. See how God would handle them. We'll talk about that.